Welcome to another episode of Thinking Like a Bank, where we show you how to think like a bank by applying the same strategies and principles that banks use to help you find more financial freedom in your life. I'm your host, Sari Ibrahim. Today's guest, Matt Shields, is a self-taught entrepreneur, real estate investor, author, podcast host. He has a great passion for business, which led him to founding Virtus Technology, a digital transformation company, and Virtus Property Group, a multifamily investment company. Matt, welcome to our podcast.
Thanks, Sari. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I forgot to also mention you're the host of Pass the Secret Sauce podcast, which I was a guest on about a year ago, as we were talking about. We're going to talk about real estate technology, other things, your other projects you're working on today. Before we jump into that, do you mind sharing more about your background and who you are?
Yeah, so I live in Akron, Ohio, and have been an entrepreneur for about 25 years now or so. I haven't had a real quote unquote real job since I was about 21 or so. So, you know, over the years, I used to have an electrical contracting company. So I have a background in construction. And as we're going to get into here a little bit today, I am using that background in the real estate side of things. Shortly after I got out of electrical contracting company, I started the technology company Virtus Ventures, which basically we go into companies and digitize their current process. So we, you know, look to see how information flows through their company. And then we create custom softwares and custom applications to be able to manage and push that information to whoever might need that information. That started doing well. So then I started investing in large multifamily apartment buildings. That led to creating our own property management company, our own construction company. And then more recently, as you mentioned, was the podcast, Pass the Secret Sauce, which has been phenomenal in connecting me with other entrepreneurs, you know, in all kinds of different interesting industries, such as yourself. So it's been a lot of fun.
Awesome. And Virtus, so you help companies digitize their process. Now, who are these companies? Are they like small, medium sized companies?
Yeah, I would say small to medium. Yeah. Most of them are doing at least $5 million a year in business. And our largest one does, I'd say, probably about 175 or so million a year in business. And typically, a lot of them are, they're established companies. They're companies that might have, you know, a very analog, paper focused type business right now, the way that they execute everything. So for instance, one of them was basically creating manila folders that they would hand these folders off, you know, to this person, that person. And essentially that folder was everything that was inside of that project, right? And they would have these, everybody has stacks of folders all over the place. And this is a construction company, right? So each one of these folders is a different job. They'd have checks in there. They'd have, you know, all the customer information, and the customer would call in, you know, question about my job. And then, you know, it's kind of a mad dash. Who has the folder? Where is it at? I had it, you know, 15 minutes ago, and then this person came in. So it's just a big mess, right? So, and this is a company that's doing, they probably do 125 a year or so, maybe a little bit more than that. You know, this isn't a small company, but, you know, we came in, evaluated how they were doing everything, you know, what all the writing on the folders meant. And, you know, this stage, this information is coming in, and, you know, if this happened, these things would go away, and basically digitize that entire process. So now everything's in a system where, you know, it's very, very easy to bring new people on, train new staff. Plus, they used to pull their hair out every month, you know, doing all their financials, their, you know, the monthly close of the books and everything. They nothing was ever accurate. Everything was always all over the place. And now, you know, everything's all digitized, and it's, you know, just a matter of pushing a button and getting your reports, and, you know, it's ready to go.
So it could be a variety of things, right? It could be like whatever the kind of the business needs or wants, you can, in a sense, digitize that process.
Yep, exactly. And some of that same company, they also have a sales arm as well. Mm-hmm. So they used to, quite literally, they used to walk in with a big box full of information and binders and pictures and all kinds of things, right? So we basically digitized that entire thing, created animations for them, and now they walk in with their iPad, and, you know, everything's right there, and everything that they're entering in, you know, on the job site is then entered into the system as well. So, you know, you don't need as many people, you know, taking a written contract and then entering it in over on this system and then, you know, transferring it over here. So it's kind of, you know, much more streamlined now, and, you know, creates just a much better workflow for pretty well everyone.
Better workflow. Yeah. And ultimately it improves revenue because you could do more things, you could take on more clients, you could retain more clients and such, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right. They've realized a lot of savings, from a manual entry side of things. And they also have a number of different franchises. So all the franchises are all using it as well. So it's really big impact for them, with what they started out with. So.
And then would the software be like handed over to the business now that's their proprietary like asset?
So again, depending on the situation, in that particular situation, yes, they are basically buying the software, as we're building it. And this is a very iterative process as well. They might say, hey, we need to do this or tweak this or add this or whatever. So we're right there with them going through step by step, their exact process with how they do things. And then we're coding it into the software, and then they test it, and yeah, that's good. And we kind of go from there. But yes, in that case, they are purchasing everything. We have other clients where we've taken pieces and parts and put them together, and then they might pay a monthly fee to be able to access that, more of a SaaS type system.
Now, how does this tie in with, so you have Virtus and then you also have a real estate background, right? Where you have, can you tell us a bit more about the real estate experience you have and what you're doing with real estate?
Yeah, so when I had my electrical contracting company prior to the technology company, I started investing in single family homes. We had a couple of duplexes and one quad at one point. And we would, fix them up, flip them, rent some of them, just depending on each one of the deals. I stopped doing all of that around 2008 when the last recession happened. And the technology company then started doing well. So I decided, let's get back into real estate. So I started doing all kinds of research, thinking I was going to get back into single family again, because I already knew that. But now there's so much information on the internet and all of that. I found apartment investing in apartments, and thought that that was definitely the way to go. That made just a lot more sense to me. But I didn't really know anything about buying, how any of that works. And obviously, you're dealing with a lot bigger dollars than, buying a single family house, right? So I knew that I wanted to join some type of a network. I came across Grant Cardone. Everyone's heard of him. Really liked what he had to say and what he was doing, but I didn't really connect with him. So I ended up finding a group called Jake and Gino, which I'm not sure if you've heard of them or not, but another very, very successful real estate investing training system that they put together. And they also invest in real estate as well. So I really liked that we were learning from someone who was actually doing it today, right? So that's the group that I ended up joining, networked with a number of different other investors, partnered with some of them. I actually met my real estate partner through Jake and Gino, and he and I have invested in, I think we're probably about at 750 units right now, and we're working on closing a couple of more properties right now.
700. So you're currently managing 750 units right now.
Yeah.
And where are these properties located?
They're in a suburb of Cleveland. So again, I'm from Akron, so they're in a suburb of Cleveland called Shaker Heights. And then we have a number of properties down in the Atlanta market as well. He's from the Atlanta area.
And then is this like is it a syndication where you're pooling capital from all the other investors and then buying these properties?
Yeah, so we do syndicate them, and we have a good network of other investors, always obviously looking for additional investors, which kind of leads into some of the new things that we're working on as well. But yeah, we do syndicate them. Obviously, we're investing in these as well, but we're not big enough yet to be able to do all of these, on our own. So everybody has a cap. Everybody runs out of money at some point. So that's when you bring in other people.
Who are your investors? Are they like accredited investors? Are they non-accredited? Are they mixed?
So when we first started, we had some smaller ones that we've actually since sold. We'll call it friends and family, right? So some of those ones were accredited, some of them weren't accredited. But now we're basically looking for all accredited investors. So and again, through the various different networks that we're part of, we're able to tap into a good group of accredited investors. We've created some funds and whatnot as well that, we're advertising those funds. And those funds, in order to invest in them, you have to be accredited as well. So, and there's just different variables, you know, with the different approaches. And we just felt, you know, again, going the accredited route was, you know, better for what we were looking for and the size projects that we're looking for. Typically what we found, if you're going non-accredited, typically those types of investors will invest smaller amounts. Mm-hmm. So that's fine if you're not doing, you know, a very large project, but essentially we're looking for 250 units and above. That's the size projects that we're looking to be able to bring down right now. So we would have to have a heck of a lot of, you know, unaccredited investors in there in order to be able to fill those funds. Whereas with the accredited ones, you know, our minimums are typically 250,000. So we don't need as many investors to be able to fill out those raises.
On this, for example, with a 250 unit property, what would the average or target price be?
So right now we're looking at properties. I would say most of them are probably in between the 30 and call it 60 million price range, you know, somewhere in there. Okay. So just depending where they are, obviously the ones down south are more expensive than the ones up here in the north.
So let's just say it was 40 million. You would raise about 10 million. Is that right?
Thereabouts. Yeah. Again, depending on what kind of leverage you're getting. Right. So what we're seeing is that we're trying to take down deals that we're not over leveraging, you know, whatsoever right now. So a lot of the lenders are only offering 65% LTV. Uh-huh. So again, it just depends, you know, on the deal, what types of debt we are able to get on each one of those opportunities, and every opportunity is different, right? We thought that we had I don't know if you're familiar with a city called Buckhead, which is a suburb of Atlanta. That particular city is known as the Beverly Hills of the South, right? Yeah. So quite literally, like, that's like, if you're very, very wealthy and you live in the Atlanta MSA, you probably live in Buckhead. I mean, it's very, very, very wealthy area. So, you know, we found an opportunity there, and it was really difficult to be able to find a lender for that particular opportunity. We thought that this was something that everybody would want to be a part of, but and it's not an A class, you know. This time when things are going down, a lot of people sort of shy away from the A class properties, but you know, it's not an A class property. So really it ended up coming down to the age of the asset is what a lot of people, you know, kind of backed away from. But again, we figure that it's Buckhead. Everybody wants to be in Buckhead, and it'll be more difficult than what we expected. So again, every opportunity is different. You think you have the right, you know, the right metrics, and someone will come out of nowhere with, oh, would you think about this? Or what about this? I don't like that. You know, so to each their own, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you're talking earlier, you were saying, like, you know, the last recession, making a distinction, like there was that last recession. Could there be a recession right now, or heading towards a recession?
Yeah, I certainly believe that we are. I mean, technically we are in a recession right now, right? I believe it's 3 months of
negative GDP.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Which technically we are there right now. So when I was saying the last recession, I was referring to the, you know, the 2008, you know, debacle as well. So similar mindset, I guess you can say, with a lot of entrepreneurs, where it's like, what's going to happen? And that's actually kind of really been interesting. Last time I had a small exposure to entrepreneurs around me, right? But with the podcast this time, you know, we've had a lot of different entrepreneurs reaching out, you know, trying to figure out what to do. And it's been, honestly, it's been nice being able to have the network of other entrepreneurs to be able to tap and connect, you know, connect resources together. And it's really been interesting being able to be in that position where people actually come and are asking questions. And then I might not know the answer, but I probably have someone who, you know, is in their same industry or has gone through similar things. So that's, you know, where we're connecting people together.
And then as far as the, like, recession, like the impact, like let's say somebody is currently invested right now in multifamily, and I don't know how far we can go in a recession, or like what that actually means pertaining to our daily lives. But what's the impact in the multifamily setting? Like, does it impact it directly, or is it more of a hedge against risks?
It can be both, right? Mm-hmm. Depending on how your current debt is structured, on the asset. So, you know, you might have an adjustable rate mortgage, a variable rate mortgage, right? So right now we're seeing interest rates rise, and you know, month over month, you know, that interest rate might have gone up, and it probably has in the last 3-4 months, mm-hmm. 5 months. And, you know, maybe some other months it's gone down a little bit, but it probably isn't where it was, you know, a year ago, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Those fluctuations in costs, you know, can create issues for deals, again, just depending where you are in that life cycle. Where the recession also can hurt you is, you know, on your resident base, on your tenant base. That's kind of the lifeblood of the property, right? If your tenant base, you know, is in a sector or is in, you know, primarily in a city where there's a few major employers, and that sector gets hit really hard and people get laid off,
yeah.
You might have a lot of issues with trying to collect your rents as well. People might not necessarily have those funds available. So that can be another way. But on the flip side, though, mm-hmm. too, people always need someplace to live. And again, unfortunately, there's going to be people that might, again, lose their jobs and have to sell their home, and then they move into an apartment. So there's always a flux. There's always, you know, kind of rolling traffic, I guess you can say, where, you know, different people are going through different situations. And again, some negatively impact mm-hmm. the property, others are positives. So even with the interest rates where they are, so interest rates, again, have climbed.
Yep.
So housing is getting to be very, very expensive for people. I actually was just, you know, talking to my girlfriend a couple of days ago, and we purchased a house probably 2 years ago or so. And I said, you know, at today's rates, mortgage payment would be $5,000 more than what it is right now, right? And she's like, oh my God, I can't believe that. So that's the exact same type of situation that someone today who's going out trying to find a home is faced with, you know, much, much more expensive money. So maybe they can't afford a house big enough for what they need. You know, they're a family, they don't, you know, they need a certain amount of room, they need a certain number of bedrooms, but they can't afford it. So then their only option is to go to rent. So again, it's constant traffic moving around, and you know, it can impact negatively, but it can also impact positively.
Yeah. And then to your point, they might not be able to afford because of the increase in interest rates, but also qualified. That's a really big one too.
Yeah.
So they might exactly. Because when interest rates go up, less people typically qualify because the lenders have to go through, you know, their regulatory processes of approving people based off their debt to income ratios and other factors.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
How does this all come together now? So you have the tech company Virtus, you mm-hmm. run this real estate, and then there's also an education component too, right?
Yeah. So we are in the process of creating another entity called 99 Entrepreneur Strong right now. And that's really what end goal is, to really help other businesses grow and thrive mm-hmm. through connections, you know, through better processes, better systems, and then also adding in a generational wealth component to that. So essentially, we want to back businesses by real estate, right? So as your business does better, you should start looking for other investment opportunities. Mm-hmm. So I mentioned earlier, we've got some different funds set up now. So 99 Entrepreneur Strong is really going to be about bolstering your business, connecting you together with other people, creating your plan where you want to go, and then giving you that backup on the other end to be able to invest into various multifamily real estate opportunities. So again, really, again, taking what we've learned through the technology company mm-hmm. and going through granular steps through many, many different types of businesses, we're able to dissect how your business runs pretty effectively. We can call out different ways to be able to do different things, you know, helped optimize your business, introduce you to other business owners, mm-hmm. help answer some of the questions that you might have. And then, you know, as that business does better, then we have the opportunity to be able to invest in other opportunities as well.
That makes a lot of sense. Interesting. And I think it goes hand in hand, right? There's a lot of benefits to investing in real estate. There's the rate of return benefit, right? Like your mm-hmm. money growing over time, because yep. the values of real estate are growing. Rental income is typically increasing every year.
Yep.
And then there's the tax benefits,
exactly. right?
Depreciation and other tax benefits and sharing expenses. So that's another benefit. And then also, like how we're talking about reacting to recessions and other kind of risky time periods, the stock market typically doesn't work that way and other asset classes. So I could see that. So you're helping businesses find ways of generating more profits, saving more money. And then after that, leveraging, not leveraging, sorry, but investing in real estate from
Yeah,
those
exactly.
profits and savings.
And I mean, leveraging, is a good word too. I mean,
Yeah.
right? You're leveraging the power of real estate. Once you start generating more income, maybe your main concern is depreciation and
Yeah.
having those write-offs, right? So we have a couple of investors that that's their main thing that they're looking for. They're not necessarily worried about the cash flow or the income.
Yeah.
It's the depreciation that they're looking for. So that's one of the other great opportunities about real estate. So that's obviously there as well.
That makes sense. Yeah, definitely. So, Matt, how can listeners connect with you and learn more about you?
So very active on LinkedIn, and I believe that that's just Matthew Shields on LinkedIn. But of course, come check out the podcast. We do a couple of episodes every week. Again, different types of entrepreneurs come on, and we dive into all kinds of different business topics and advice. So that's just passthesecretsauce.com, or it's on iTunes and Spotify, and I think it's pretty well anywhere where podcasts are.
Awesome. I'll be sure to add in all the links you mentioned in the show notes below. And that way, listeners can just connect and click it, connect with you. It was a pleasure having you on the podcast, and I'm looking forward to having you back on.
Absolutely. Thanks, Harry.
Thanks. To learn more about what we do and how we can help you grow more wealth, please visit www.finassetprotection.com. That's FIN assetprotection.com. The topics presented in this podcast are for general information only and not for the purposes of providing legal, accounting, or investment advice. On such matters, please consult a professional who knows your specific situation.